Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Continuing on here on a Friday night, it is the night without baseball, unfortunately, as nothing's going on. But tomorrow, all the divisional series are set to begin. That includes the Cubs and the Brewers. Again, two teams that the Cardinals continue to look up at. They would love to be in the spot that they're at. Two very good teams from the division, and they're going to match up in a big series that begins tomorrow. Milwaukee, we talked with Andrew Wagner last hour to hear about things from a Milwaukee perspective. Now we're going to switch gears and bring in Jared Willis. He is a part of the team at CHGO Sports, part of the All City Network, and he joins us right now. Jared, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to this division series. It should really be a good one.
Yeah, it really should. Before we get to that, let's look back at what just happened over the last few days, because it was a good series between the Cubs and the Padres. From your perspective, what separated these two teams that the Cubs were able to come out on top?
I think the biggest difference was when you saw, particularly in Game 3 yesterday, the defense from the Cubs, when you have Dansby Swanson and Nico Hoerner up the middle, they gobbled up several balls in play that probably should have been hits and really took away some scoring opportunities from the Padres. And ultimately, it boils down to that, because when you have defense playing the way that they were, it really makes your pitching even better. And it helps you kind of paper over the fact that the offense was not at full strength. You know, they didn't produce a lot of runs in all three of those games, and we're still able to come out ahead. And all that comes back to, you get the kind of quality defense they were, and really all the way up the middle. You get Pete Armstrong in center field, and that trio in particular, that really makes a huge difference.
I think it's a lazy narrative to look at the Bogart strikeout that probably should have been a walk in the ninth inning and blame a lot of that on the way things played out. But we'd also not be remiss to not say it had an impact. In Chicago today, how much is that non-strike call being talked about, and what did you think the impact of that was?
Yeah, I mean, in the moment, it definitely, that's a significant spot, because, you know, you have the Padres, who already on the Jackson Merrill home run or only down by two, they've got some base runners on. That's a significant spot. And it was definitely a borderline call. And I think anybody who's gone, you know, Baseball Savant has it as a strike, and we could probably debate for days either way. But I think, honestly, my opinion of it is, if I'm the Padres, I have to look at the fact that the top three guys in their order got on base as a group, got on base one time in Game 3. And when something like that happens to your offense, you can't really boil it down to a called strike at the very end of the game. Because if you get Tatis Jr. and Luis Arias and Manny Machado producing like they're capable of, like they should, then you're never in that situation in the first place. It's not going to matter. So that has a lot to do with it. And I think that's been sort of the general reaction. I think, you know, yeah, any Cubs fan knows deep down that you got the benefit of it's a borderline call that went your way, and that does make a difference. But ultimately, it's you got to get better production from the top of your order.
So having previously worked in Milwaukee, my Twitter algorithm still has a Milwaukee scent to it. And it seems like all the folks there are really fired up about this series. Obviously, the Craig Council stuff is going to play out in the background as well. What's the excitement level for Cubs fans getting to match up against a rival in the Brewers for the first time ever in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think similarly here, there's a high level of anticipation and excitement because, you know, there's a lot to it because Cubs fans, they've gotten a little tired of the fact that the Brewers now have won the division 3 years in a row.
Cardinals fans are sick of that too, Jared.
Right. We're all in agreement about that. But, you know, when you look at that happening year after year, and especially this year where there was a time earlier in the season, in the first half in particular, where it really looked like this was going to be the Cubs division to lose, and then you have Milwaukee getting red hot for a stretch there at the same time that the Cubs were kind of scuffling a little bit, and that ends up making a really big difference. So there's a ton of anticipation, and also it comes from the fact that I think both sides know this is going to be a tough series because these are two teams that are pretty evenly matched. Milwaukee is a very, very good baseball team, you know, because credit to them, you don't get to where you are without playing a high-level baseball for extended periods of time. So I think Cubs fans here know this isn't going to be easy, but we love the matchup. We love the rivalry. We love that it's close because you get Chicago and Milwaukee. Everybody can travel back and forth. The crowds are going to be great. It should really be a wonderful series.
In the regular season, when the Cubs and Brewers play in Milwaukee, Cubs fans absolutely take over that ballpark. Have you gotten much indication if many tickets are being sold, if Cubs fans are going to be able to infiltrate that ballpark as much as they normally do?
Well, if every Cubs fan who has said that they're going to be there actually shows up, there's going to be, you know, 90,000 people in that in that stadium. But yeah, I've seen that, you know, the prices aren't cheap, but it's a playoff game. And but yeah, I think the Cubs fans are going to turn up about as much as they normally do, and vice versa. I think you'll see a lot of Milwaukee fans down in Chicago when the time comes.
Is the key here, if the Cubs can keep hitting home runs the way they normally hit home runs, that that's going to be their path to winning this series?
It really is, because the things that are consistent for the Cubs, or have been consistent all year, is, as I said at the beginning, they play good defense. That rarely ever changes. They have pitched well really all season long with, you know, some of the normal ups and downs that you're going to see from any pitching staff. But, you know, from start to finish, this has been a solid pitching core. So those two things, you know, they're probably going to do well with. It will come down to the offense, and they're such a different offense when they're getting the long ball, because that was the difference in game one of the wild card. You got two solo shots at just the right time, and that made the difference. And even, you know, yesterday, the insurance run from Michael Busch on a home run, they produce a whole lot more when they're hitting it out. So if they're not hitting it out, then I think you know how this series is going to go.
I know Craig Council will not publicly acknowledge at all that this meaning a lot because of him being a Milwaukee son, and obviously the way things have gone down since he left the Brewers. But how much deep down do you think this series does mean to the Cubs manager?
It has to. I mean, I cannot imagine that it wouldn't, given where his background, he grew up there. He really was... I mean, that organization is in his blood. You know, he's wearing a Cubs uniform now, but I think that for him, you know, so much of his life has been about Milwaukee. It's been about Wisconsin. And so in a weird sort of way, I'm sure he wants to prove himself to that group of people, and wants to prove that he made the right decision by coming to the Cubs, so that he could, you know, come here and win. And how poetic that when he gets a team into the postseason for the first time, one of his first challenges is you got to get past the Brewers. So yeah, absolutely. This is means a lot to this guy.
I do wonder how he views what's gone on with the Brewers since he left, because he he essentially left. See, I don't know if he ever said this publicly, but it felt like he was leaving because there wasn't the commitment from the organization to do what they needed to do. Maybe I've got that wrong, but that's what it felt like at the time. And then lo and behold, the Brewers have been better than the Cubs since he left. So I just wonder how he views what's happened in Milwaukee since he left there.
I think you're right. He's never come out and said it, and I doubt that he will. There has to be a bit of surprise because I don't think he expected this. I don't think most people expected this when he left, because that was the general consensus, was that he was leaving in part because he wasn't pleased with what he thought the direction of the organization was. And so go from Milwaukee to an organization that in the Cubs, that's going to spend a little bit more money on free agency, has some of the financial wherewithal to compete in a way that the Brewers traditionally don't. And so, yeah, it's definitely surprising that in spite of that, here they are now for his second season with the Cubs and the second year in a row where he still finds himself looking up at the Brewers.
Last thing for Jared Willis. And Jared, I know you're obviously covering the Cubs, but you watch what's going on across baseball and in the NL Central. For the Cardinals this year, they finished below 500. They finished in fourth place. Now a new president of baseball operations coming in. John Mozeliak's out. Chaim Bloom is in. We don't really know what the timeline is going to be. People in St. Louis are so used to this team winning at a very high level, and it hasn't been happening recently. From an outsider's perspective there in Chicago, can you give me kind of your view from 30,000 feet of what's going on with the Cardinals and what you're expecting in terms of when you think this team's going to be once again competing?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Cardinals from my view, they don't look to me like a team that is as far away from competing again as maybe people in St. Louis, it sounds like a lot of them think. It doesn't look to me like a team that's in for an extended rebuild, because the one thing the Cardinals have always done well, and I'm preaching to the choir here, you guys know this, but the farm system, the player development has something that has been a thorn in the side of Cubs fans for ages, is that the St. Louis Cardinals produce quality players out of their farm system. And that's always a huge first step in rebuilding an organization. And so that's why I think I don't expect this to be a long period of time that the Cardinals are not in contention. And it's also, it's an organization that in my opinion, the perception among veteran players is that it's a desirable place to go and play. So if you're a free agent who's looking at your list of options and the Cardinals are one of them, that's one that I'm going to weigh heavily. That's a place that I would want to go play. So I don't expect the Cardinals to be down for long at all.
Jared Willis does a great job covering baseball, covering the Cubs. You can follow him on Twitter at JWYLLYS. Jared, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Enjoy the postseason. We wish we had postseason baseball in St. Louis. Hopefully we'll have it again real soon, but appreciate you taking a few moments with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Very good. That's Jared Willis joining us. Does a great job covering the Cubs. He's one of my favorite people to be able to talk to, even though he covers the Cubs. He doesn't. Yeah, it's great. We don't talk a lot of Cubs here, but I think this is a really unique, interesting series, and there is something to learn from a Cardinals perspective, because the Brewers and the Cubs were each teams with really good records this year. And I know one of them won the division and the other one's a wild card, and I'm well understanding of the fact that it wasn't just those two teams the Cardinals were looking up at. But how do you get to be a 90-plus win team in the NL Central? Well, there's multiple ways to do it. Looking up to the Brewers, looking up to the Cubs, and using that as a lesson, and then watching how this is going to play out in the postseason. I asked Andrew Wagner about this last hour, and I don't know if I completely agreed with his answer, because maybe I have a little bit of a bias behind me, and that's a possibility. But of the four teams that are still alive in the National League, if I'm going to rank them, I think the Cubs are going to beat the Brewers, and I don't think if the Brewers were playing the Dodgers over the next 5 days, I think the Dodgers would win. If the Brewers were playing the Phillies over the next week, I think the Phillies would win. So if we're doing a power ranking, I think the Brewers are the least of the National League teams. But what am I doing? I'm discounting the Brewers. What do we do every year at the beginning of the season? we discount the Brewers, and then they go do just crazy good stuff. This year they had a 97-win season, which is ridiculous. They had the most wins in all of Major League Baseball, and people like me were saying, I'm not even sure if this team's going to make it into the postseason this year. So I'm doing it again. Like, I want to punch myself in the face because I know I always undervalue the Brewers, and then they go do things that I don't expect them to do. Here I am. They just had a 97-win regular season, and I'm like, I think the Cubs are going to beat them. I don't think they would have beat the Phillies. I don't think they would have beat the Dodgers either. That's where I'm at right now. It's what I believe. I'm not going to lie to you. I can acknowledge the fact of when I'm saying something and, like, at a surface level, it doesn't make sense. At a surface level, what I'm saying doesn't really make sense. I do know the Brewers have had very, very, very little postseason success in almost 10 years. And I see a roster that is very similar to last year. Also, to Andrew's point, if you were listening to us last year, that Pete Alonso home run last year was kind of fluky. It was a fluky moment. And if that Alonso home run does not happen, maybe things look a little bit different moving forward for that team. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we roll, we'll continue to talk a little bit of baseball. Might get into a little bit of football as well. We've got more coming up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We're going to have our weekly conversation courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan, with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be coming up in about 10 minutes or so as we wrap up a Friday night. Going to move away from baseball for at least a few moments. Maybe next week when I have a bit more time, I'll dive into this a bit more. But there is something new going on in the world of college sports that could, again, disrupt college sports in a very major way. And we have certainly seen that in recent years with all the football realignment, with name, image, likeness, with the collectives, with the house settlement and the money now coming in through the athletic departments. There's more of a separation between the haves and have-nots in college sports. Things are always being threatened and challenged in courts, and it seems like schools in the NCAA are just constantly losing. But earlier this week, and I had heard some rumblings about this, specifically I'd heard some rumblings about this with the Big 12 Conference. As a proud graduate of Kansas State University, I'm a Big 12 guy, and I follow along very closely with what's going on in that league. I started hearing maybe a few months ago about private equity money coming into the Big 12 Conference, where essentially private equity firms would own a piece of the conference, which, if that doesn't make you shiver a little bit, I don't know, you're probably not totally paying attention, because it's a college sports conference, it's public universities, it's all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, private equity money being involved. And when I heard about it from a Big 12 perspective, it from what I heard was, hey, the Big 12 is clearly behind the SEC and the Big Ten. What can be an equalizer? And maybe infusing a bunch of money, private equity money, would be a way to do that. And I kind of got that. I mean, right now, if you're not the Big Ten or the SEC, you're falling back, no matter what happens in the Big 12 or the ACC. And really, those are the only other leagues that are power conferences at this point. The Pac-12 is trying to build back, but they're not going to ever be what they were before. Well, then it was reported earlier this week that the Big Ten is now in discussions about a private capital deal that would infuse at least $2 billion into league schools. The discussions, according to the ESPN report, indicates that it would include a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights. That's going to go all the way through 2046. So that would ensure stability inside the league, where teams would not be able to exit the leagues. The sources, according to ESPN, said the private capital deal and grant of rights extension have actually been discussed for months, has been presented in multiple forms. They feel like the grant of rights extension would hurt other entities that are trying to form super leagues around college sports. And according to this report, there's actually support from the entire league. Some of the biggest brands, you would think the big brands would be against this, because maybe they would lose the ability to be out in front of other schools. But reportedly, Ohio State and Michigan, and those are arguably the biggest brands in the Big Ten Conference, are in support of it. But there is still discussion. The league would like to have unanimous support before a vote. So what would happen would be, it would essentially be the formation of a new commercial entity within the Big Ten that would house all revenue generation, such as media rights, sponsorship, and league revenue streams. It would be called Big Ten Enterprises, and then the private capital company would get their money back through an entity through annual distribution in proportion to its financial stake. There would be 20 equity shares, 18 schools, the league, and then the investor. So you would have this investor, whether it's an individual or whether it is a group of people that represent one investment group, they would at that point have the same financial stake as every single school. So, I referred to earlier as the Big 12 Conference selling a piece of their conference. There was a source that told ESPN, quote, "Think of it this way. The conference is not selling a piece of the conference. Traditional conference functions would remain 100% with the conference office, scheduling, officiating championships. The new entity being created would focus on business development, and it would include an outside investor with a small financial stake," unquote. Again, we don't have the time right now to really dive into this and what it potentially means for college sports. I think as it's being presented right now from a Big Ten standpoint, where it's not really buying the league, but it's an outside investor trying to create more revenue for the league and then taking a piece of that revenue, that in itself doesn't bother me. It's a slippery slope. It is a slippery slope. And if that's going to be the Big Ten model, then what's the Big 12 and the ACC going to do when they're once again trying to find a way to catch up with the Big Ten and the SEC? Because now if the Big Ten's doing that, just doing the same thing doesn't really help you catch up. It helps you keep pace a little bit. Does the SEC ever get involved in this? I don't know. I mean, they're so powerful. They've got all the money in the world. I don't think they're going to sell their soul. But you know what? Money talks, and billions of dollars definitely, definitely talks. We are going to take a break. Chiefs have a Monday night game this week. They'll play the Jaguars on Monday night right here on KMOX. We're going to hear a little from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. That's coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is the Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Just a few minutes left on this edition of the program. No Chiefs football this weekend. Instead, they are going to play on Monday night as they are set to match up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We, of course, are your home for Chiefs football here in St. Louis and look forward to bringing you the broadcast coming up on Monday night. Right now, though, it is time for our weekly conversation with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, the flagship station for Chiefs football. And as Patrick Mahomes visits with host Carrington Harrison, I thought this was interesting because Mahomes, AFC Offensive Player of the Week for what he was able to do last weekend. And Harrison asked Mahomes how he finds out about that. He's won those weekly or monthly awards multiple times in his career. What's the process for him actually finding out that he is an award winner from the NFL?
I usually find out from like social media, just like everybody else. Like you get the thing comes up, and I follow the NFL on Instagram, and it pops up. So that's usually how I find out. It's not like they go out of the way to tell us. But Coach Reed does a good thing, and he usually makes us like a football, like a special made football for that type of award. And so I keep those at home as something I'll have for the rest of my life.
I guess I just figured this whole time. So like the league doesn't give you like some kind of small trophy or nothing for it. You don't get anything for winning player of the week.
No, we don't. I mean, you get the accomplishment of doing it, though. I mean, it is still a great accomplishment, and it speaks to the guys I have around me, and it made me look good. And so I'll be able to get some of those footballs that Coach Reed has made for me.
What is it like to be locked in as an offense the way that you guys were on Sunday? I mean, almost everything you guys did worked. You ran the football effectively. The running backs got involved out of the backfield. The deep passing game, you got Xavier Worthy back. We'll get to him more coming up in a bit. What is it like to be in control of an offense that's just humming the way that you guys were?
Yeah, I mean, it's a special feeling, man. It's just you work so hard for those moments. They don't come all the time. And to be able to do that and have success at that rate and kind of get everybody going, it's a lot of fun because – everybody's enjoying it. Everybody's having fun, and the energy on the sideline is amazing. So definitely we're going to cherish that feeling and try to see if we can keep it going throughout the rest of the season.
I'm sure you've heard the conversation. A lot of people want to know if Kansas City's offense is back after that performance. How do you guys continue that momentum? How do you take what you did on Sunday against the Ravens? How do you carry that with you to Monday night against the Jaguars?
Yeah, I think it's about execution more than anything. I mean, if you look at the Jaguars' defense, they got talented players everywhere, and they've really capitalized on teams making mistakes against them and turning the football over and punching the football out, and they make a lot of plays. And so we have to execute at a high level. We have to take care of the football, and we have to go out there with a great game plan, and that's what we're putting in now. We're putting the game plan in and trying to make sure that we can go out there and play our best football on Monday night.
You just mentioned it. Jacksonville is +9 in turnover differential. I don't have to tell you the importance of winning the turnover battle and winning the turnover margin. What emphasis is placed on that to not give up extra possessions to a very hungry Jacksonville squad?
Yeah, they do a great job of punching the football out and intercepting the football, tipping pass at the line of scrimmage. They're really fundamentally sound, and they have a lot of talented players too. And so we have to be great in our execution. You can't let little things happen in a game like this, because you know this is the type of defense that will take advantage of it. And so it'll be super important on us to really go out there and execute the fundamentals and play our best football on Monday.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, let's talk about some of your teammates from a specific standpoint. Let's start with Xavier Worthy, explosive player. He led you guys in rushing. He led you guys in receiving yards. He had a great route toward the sideline that he got completely free. Him being there just completely changes the dynamic of you guys' offense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's just a special football player. You know, I think people always just realize that he was fast, but I don't think they really realize the type of football player that he is and how tough he is and how he can run routes and how he can do a lot of things on the football field, and he does a great job of, after the catch, making plays happen as well. And so just adding him to that receiving room, man, you start to get a feel for what this receiving room is, and there's talented players everywhere, and when he gets so much attention on him, it gets other guys open as well. And so I was excited to have him back out there, and he made an immediate impact.
One thing that I alluded to on Monday whenever we opened the show was just – I felt like it was a glimpse into what you guys' offense can be in a couple of weeks. Rashee Rice is, you know, 2 weeks away from rejoining this team. You've never had Rice, Worthy, and Brown all on the field at the same time. You add Tyquan Thornton in the mix, and with some of your other pieces, it feels like this offense is right around the corner from just getting everybody healthy and getting everybody on the same page.
Yeah, that's the goal, too. And, I mean, obviously we've been able to win these last few games, and hopefully I will be able to get Rashee back here in a couple weeks. And so I think for us, it's just about building confidence within that receiving room and within all the playmakers. And you've seen guys like Tyquan and Hollywood have to step up and make plays, Juju, and adding Xavier now, and then we'll obviously add Rashee. I think it's just giving guys confidence to know that they can do it. And let's continue to build that confidence as the season goes on so that we can be playing our best football at the right time.
You mentioned Rashee. What is it like to have him back at the office?
Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, just to have him in some of those meetings and him being in the room, man, he's got a smile on his face every single day, man, and he brings energy. And I think the best thing about our receiving room, more than even the talent, is they all like each other. And, I mean, that doesn't always happen, and they all want each other to succeed. And you see that on the field about how they celebrate together, and I think Rashee just kind of completes that missing piece, you know, just to be in that room and kind of bring that energy every day.
Let's talk about the young guy, the running back, Breshard Smith. It feels like this is a role that you guys have had for that kind of third down back. This is what Jerick McKinnon did. This is what Samaje Perine did last year for you guys. It seems like that's the role that you guys have for Breshard Smith. How do you see his role growing? How do you see him growing in this offense as the season progresses?
Yeah, I think he has so much explosive ability. You have to find ways just to get him touches and get him the football. And if that's running the ball, catching the ball, he's played receiver in college. He played running back in college. So he can kind of do a lot of different things. And so just like any other playmaking position in this offense, he has to learn on the fly and learn the stuff that Coach Reed wants those guys to do. And he's done a good job of that. We're opening up more and more of the playbook to him, and he's really taking it in and excelling in his opportunities. And so I'm sure he'll get more and more opportunities as the season goes on.
You've obviously been doing this for a while. You've had great success. But one thing I really appreciate you as a teammate is you really appreciate your teammates as well. How exciting is it to see a guy like Breshard Smith, who maybe didn't get the playing time that he wanted, but now he's a part of the offense? We talked about Tyquan Thornton last week and how he's really hitting a nice stride in his career. Just how rewarding is it to see the hard work the guys are putting in? Now it's being rewarded on Sundays.
Yeah, it just speaks to just hard work pays off. I mean, I know people talk about it, but it's hard whenever you're going through those days sometimes and you feel like you're giving everything you have and the success is not coming your way or the opportunity is not coming your way. If you just continue to push and continue to work, you get the opportunities, and when you get those opportunities, you're ready for them. And I think that's what those guys have done. And I saw it all during OTAs and all during training camp, and even during the season when they may have not gotten the opportunities that they wanted to get, they continued to work extremely hard so that whenever their opportunities came, they were ready for them, and they went out there and executed.
Patrick, what growth have you seen from maybe yourself, maybe as a team, as an offense, from that first game when you guys are at Brazil that didn't end the way that you wanted to, as opposed to what just happened this week over the first month of the season?
I think more than anything, we're not making the little mistakes. And I know sometimes you see that as penalties, but to me more, you see that kind of just in the individual play. It's just one guy here or there is making a mistake. And that kind of in this offense is all about everybody doing their job to the best of their ability all together. And whenever that happens, it kind of kills drives or it kills plays and stuff like that. And so I think we're executing at a higher level. Guys are holding each other accountable. And whenever we do that, we're a hard offense to stop.
You and I haven't really got a chance so far this season to talk a lot about Josh Simmons and his contribution to the team. Left tackle was, you know, a question mark for you guys at times last year. It feels like that question mark has been answered so far. He has played very, very well so far in his career.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's extremely talented, and he works extremely hard, and I think this is just the beginning of the player that he can be. I think right now he just relies a lot on his talent, his ability, and he's getting coached up by Coach Heck a ton on working on little things here and there, but I think as time goes on and he continues to really develop his game, he's going to be one of the best left tackles in this league. He's just got to continue to work the way he's working, and he'll continue to get better and better.
I forgot about some of these things, but as we were getting ready for this conversation, you know, me and my producer, we were talking about it. A lot of weird things have happened when you guys have played Jacksonville. Your injury happened against Jacksonville. Tyreek, when he dislocated his shoulder, that happened against Jacksonville. Hollywood Brown, his dislocated shoulder happened against Jacksonville. You guys have just had a lot of weird occurrences whenever you've played the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we don't have any more weird ones. You know, you just go in there, you have help and success, and then try to find a way to get a win. And I'll take a normal game, normal win, and coming back to Arrowhead the next week.
Talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple more minutes. Patrick, I got to get your thoughts on Tyreek's injury on Monday Night Football. A devastating injury. You're watching Monday Night Football. What is it like to see somebody that obviously you had so many memories with, you guys have won so many important games, leaving the field in that condition?
Yeah, I was actually putting my kids to sleep, so I was kind of watching it on my phone as Brittany was getting them dressed for bedtime. And so, obviously, it sucks. I mean, just because you know how much hard work that guy puts in, and you never want to see guys get injuries like that. But if anyone's going to be able to come back from that, man, I think it's going to be Tyreek. And I'm praying for him, and I know that he'll put in the work and get himself ready to go and hopefully be back playing football sooner rather than later.
How do you block this out of your mind where your next snap could be one that changes the course of your life? You know, it's a regular game. He then comes to the ground. He then breaks his knee, and then who knows what's going to happen. I know as a football player, you can't think like that, and you got to push forward. I guess it just has to be in the back of your mind with the kind of, I guess, physicality that football provides.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's everything in life. You know, you never know when the last moment on this earth is going to be. And so I think if you're right with we're right with whatever religion that you have or whatever you believe in, you go out there and live your life to the fullest. And that's how I play football is I know that this thing can get taken away from me at any moment. So why not enjoy it and have the most fun I can with the people around me?
I'll get you out of here on a positive note here. Today is a big day in pop culture. I imagine you were celebrating today as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm super excited. You know, I haven't been able to hear the album yet, but I'm super excited to be able to do that, and it'll be blaring all through the Chiefs facility tomorrow, and we'll be supporting Taylor, and she's put in so much hard work to this, and I'm excited to hear the album just like everybody else.
That is a quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Patrick, man, good luck on Monday Night Football. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That is Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes visiting with Carrington Harrison, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Chiefs football Monday night. That's going to be a 7:15 kickoff. We will not have Sports Open Line coming up on Monday as a result of Chiefs football. So we're going to wrap up this show in a little while, and then we won't have Sports Open Line again until Tuesday. Of course, we'll have some Redbird Rush Hour in there, though, leading up to all of that. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Back after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it one final time. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we start to wrap things up for the weekend. I hope you're able to enjoy playoff baseball this weekend. I love this round. I think all four series are really interesting. I know we spent a lot of time on this show locking in on what's going to happen with the Cubs and the Brewers, because those are two teams out of the NL Central, and I know there's going to be a lot of interest. I know I'm very interested in that series. That's the one that has my interest peaked the most. But my goodness, I'm really happy with the matchups that they have in this round. Dodgers, Phillies, you can make the argument, and I think when you look at like World Series odds, Dodgers, Phillies, that's an NLCS matchup in the NLDS. Like, those are two really, really, really good teams that have a very good chance of, if they win that series, going on to beat whether it is the Cubs or the Brewers that they match up against. Love the American League series with the Yankees and the Blue Jays, Tigers and Mariners. I love the fact that there's two series here with teams from the same division. That just adds something to it. The Cubs-Brewers series, again, I'm repeating myself at this point. We talked a lot about it during the show, but all the Craig Council stuff, going back to Milwaukee, that's a fantastic storyline. The way Yankees and Blue Jays, the way they finished out their seasons, Yankees went on that incredible run. The Blue Jays were able to just barely hold them off to win the division. I'm also interested to see how much of an advantage the teams that did not have to play over the last few days actually have. They all handled it differently. We've talked about on the show, the Phillies had the big inter-squad games, and they had fans come into the ballpark, and they sold those games out. Brewers were doing inter-squad games as well. They did not have fans come in. So they're in a sport where you play every day, there is a little bit of a disadvantage of all of a sudden having 5 days off where the other team's been playing, but there's also an advantage in that you get to set your pitching up. So what advantage / disadvantage is a bigger one? It probably changes as you I think I would rather have the rest. I would rather have the health. I'd rather be able to set up my pitching the way that that you want to. But that doesn't mean that playing into that next round that there's not some positive things to go along with that. We are not going to have a show on Monday. We'll have Kansas City Chiefs football. I believe we have a little bit of Redbird Rush Hour on Monday. I think I have that right. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I believe that is correct. If not, we'll talk to you on Tuesday for that coming up. But yeah, have a wonderful weekend. As I said, enjoy the baseball. Enjoy the college football. It's not the weekend in college football that it was last weekend when it comes to the games. Illinois has a game that they absolutely should win going to Purdue, even a road game. Missouri's got the weekend off in the SEC. That Alabama-Vanderbilt game, arguably the biggest game in that league, one of the biggest games in the nation. We talked about it with Kevin Wheeler earlier. Probably the biggest game in the nation overall coming out of the ACC, with Miami and Florida State matching up against each other in Tallahassee. But last weekend was just such an awesome weekend with so many great matchups. We don't have that as much this weekend, college football. You've got your really long day of NFL football because they've got a London game this week, so you're going to be able to get that first kickoff at 8:30 in the morning. I don't love the matchups also in the NFL this weekend. I think that Broncos-Eagles game could be interesting, but the Eagles are probably going to win that. The Houston-Baltimore game has actually turned interesting, how much do the Ravens take a step back? I never thought we'd be living in a world where Houston could be a 2-point favorite on the road against Baltimore, but certainly here we are. Patriots-Bills on Sunday night, I guess that's kind of interesting. But If this is a weekend where you want to have excuses to watch baseball because the football games on paper are not great, whether it's college football on Saturday, NFL football on Sunday, that would certainly be the case. Because, again, I'll say this one final time before I finally let you go. This is going to be an awesome round, I think, of baseball playoffs. This is these are some of the best divisional just a divisional series top to bottom. I might be being a prisoner of the moment. I'm very good at doing that. But I just don't remember feeling as jacked up about all four series across a divisional round as I am for this one today. Thanks to all of my guests who are on. Good to be able to preview that Cubs-Brewers series for sure. Good to be able to talk some football as well. And we'll talk to you again coming up on Monday for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.